Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Parjama, a festival in light, is back for 2024, illuminating the Red Center in Alice Springs in more ways than one, with some of Australia's most prominent First Nations identities participating in the Always Popular Talks program. To explore the event, I'm happy to say I'm joined by Paul Ache, singer, songwriter and Parjama Director of Cultural Engagement. Paul Ache, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Yeah, good. Good to be with you.
Now, can you share your insights into the significance of Parjama 2024, a festival in light, as a platform for celebrating and sharing Aboriginal culture?
Parjama, you know, as an event, is a unique event in that it provides opportunity to see Aboriginal art projected in light. But it's also a showcase of Aboriginal stories, history, performance, and just general discussion. And we also have the opportunity to show the artworks on the ground as well as projected onto the ranges, which we the Yiparinya, which is the Western McDonald Ranges.
And can you tell us how does Parjama, the talks at the Parjama Festival, contribute to the festival's overarching theme of interconnectedness in First Nations culture?
The theme of interconnectedness is based around that connection we have to land, to country, to our songs, to our dance, to our culture, to peoples, and basically to the natural environment. So it's basically a discussion and also a showcase of what that interconnectedness means to people and to First Nations people, and especially to people that are located here in Central Australia.
And can you elaborate on the cultural significance and inspiration behind the new light installation? Because, just correct me if I say it wrong, Georgia Cockatoos, and its representation of Western Arrernte country.
The red-tailed cockatoo is synonymous and very important to Arrernte peoples, and the significance of showing those particular birds is that connection that people have with that red-tailed cockatoo, but also the cockatoos themselves often, you know, have significance, especially around water sites. Their plumage and their feathers are used in ceremony, but, you know, a very part of the landscape and really signify that strength and resilience of the stories that are related to those particular birds.
As an accomplished musician yourself, how do you see the integration of live music and performance enhancing the overall Parjama experience?
You know, music is just another art form which allows the artist to tell their stories and do it in a way that, you know, they can sort of interact with all different types of generations. Also have music to support the lyrical content or the story or the message that they want to, get across in their particular songs and their performance. So having a platform for that, I think, just value adds the whole experience of Parjama, in that it sort of allows people to dance or to sit down and listen, or, you know, to take interesting, or you know, just watch it as a performance, and then relate that to what they might see in terms of other installations that are being in display at Parjama. So I think it's a good fit.
Parjama is not just a local event. Can you tell us in what ways The festival seeks to engage both local and international audiences in understanding and appreciating Aboriginal culture.
Yeah, and I think that's the words that you said. It's providing that opportunity for peoples to understand and to connect with Aboriginal culture in a different forms of medium, so that, you know, if they want to engage a lot more, you know, for example, we have an installation at this year's festival around the honouring, and it's the honouring of a well-respected lady who passed last year, but her legacy and what she did in the community and her stories and her poetry and her writings and her songs and her artwork, you know, is being displayed. So it's about showing that connection, that interconnectedness that a person has with culture and with the land. I think a lot of international tourists and tourists in general, or people that are visiting, really want to understand or get an understanding of that. So that's really at the core of what Pajma is about.
Could you discuss with us the role of Pajma in supporting the local economy and businesses, particularly in the context of the Red Centre region?
Pajma attracts a lot of people to the Central Australian region. And when they do come here, you know, Pajma is a 10-day festival. So you've got family groups, you've got other interested tourists that want to come in and have a look at the region. So by having Pajma here, people may choose to stay, you know, an extra day or an extra night. But once they see the actual event, then they do go out and visit other cafes and restaurants and wine bars, or they go and visit, you know, Aboriginal communities, or visit some, you know, tourism operators that are within the region. So it adds to the economy in that respect. And it's yeah, I don't really quite have the numbers in front of me, but it's quite substantial, the amount of dollars that are spent in the region.
And how do you envision Pajma evolving in the future, particularly as it's approaching its milestone 10th anniversary next year?
Yeah, and that's a big question that we are currently grappling with at the moment, is how do we grow the event? Because as you know, it's difficult to put an event on anywhere, and lots of events are, you know, struggling for all different reasons. So to have the event to remain relevant, current, I think that, you know, there's some thought and processes going into how we take Pajma forward. There's lots of learnings over the last, you know, 8-9 years. So what we do now is we've got to sort of sit back, reflect, look forward, look at what we've got, look at where we are, and then look at how we go forward. So that's a work in progress at the moment. We just got a new provider that's come on board, a company called Grumpy Sailor, combined with We Are Gather. So a company that's based out of the eastern coast of Australia. So it's working with them and working with other stakeholders, working with government and working with potential sponsors. And, of course, the traditional custodians of this land that the event's on, but also other Aboriginal groups, and just seeing how Pajma can go forward and become, you know, a sustainable, you know, vibrant event going forward.
And before I let you go, anything you'd like to add, something maybe we have missed in this conversation that's really crucial for our listeners to know about?
I just think that if people are listening, certainly put it in their calendar for 2025. The event this year has been very successful. I think the opening night was the biggest, second biggest night ever in the history of Pajma in its very short lifetime. But and numbers coming to Pajma have been very, very good, and in par with previous years, if not better. So the event is very, very strong. It's attracting a lot of people. So and people are saying that it's fantastic. So if those people that are listening haven't been to Alice Springs and looking at coming up, come and have a look in 2025. If you can't this year, certainly come up next year.
Paul Achie, Pajma Director of Cultural Engagement, thank you very much for joining us on ITV Radio to talk to us about Pajma 2024, currently underway in Alice Springs.
Thank you very much.